Two children are fighting in the playground. Called into the principal's office, each insists, "It all started when he hit me back." This familiar joke captures something deeply human, our tendency to avoid responsibility by blaming others. Rabbi Asher Westerhill reflects on Adam and Eve's words after eating from the tree of knowledge. "The woman you put by my side, she gave me of the tree, and the serpent duped me." He cites his teacher, Rabbi Yona Merzbach, as saying the following: "These verses illustrate the human inclination to blame one's bad actions on others. And indeed, in this regard, it seems that nothing has changed from the beginning of the world until this very day." The story of humanity's creation is also its first account of human relationships. It reveals basic patterns of human behavior, especially the failure to take responsibility and the tendency to blame others for our actions and choices. The cost is dear. Instead of seeing the other as an opportunity for connection, richness, and growth, people choose to blame, which leads to isolation, emptiness, and pain. After eating from the tree of knowledge, God addresses Adam directly. "Did you eat from the tree which I had forbidden you to eat? Hamina etz asher tziviticha levilti echol mimeno achalta?" Instead of answering yes, which would have been the simple, truthful answer, Adam replies, "The woman you put by my side, she gave me of the tree and I ate." Commentators highlight not only the avoidance of blame, but also the striking ingratitude in Adam's response. A gift from God is turned into complaint. All ingrate, says one midrash, are disciples of Adam. We do not know what would have happened had the first human taken responsibility, or had Adam admitted, "Yes, I ate from the tree, even though you commanded me not to." All we know is what happens when Adam deflects blame and shifts responsibility onto another. First, his answer launched a pattern of evasion that persists through humanity. Eve follows in his footsteps, passing responsibility to the serpent. Assigning blame to others seems to be a human tendency that spreads. Second, consequences unfold immediately. Enmity is introduced into creation. "I will put enmity between you, the snake, and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." Third, and this is essential, shifting blame undermines companionship itself. Before creating Eve, God saw that it is not good for humans, literally Adam, to be alone. As the verse tells us, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the Adam, the human, to be alone. I will make a helpful counterpart to him." The words "not good" echo negatively the repeated phrase, and God saw that it was good throughout the days of creation. Without an other, creation was not good. So God created a helpful counterpart for him. The creation of a second human being is both essential and positive. Indeed, the woman's instinct seems to reflect God's insight regarding partnership and goodness. As the verses explain, when the woman saw that the tree was good for eating, she gave some to her partner, and he ate. The woman encounters something good, something desirable and appealing, and is moved to share it with the one who shares her life. It seems her motivation is the desire to give from the good she experiences. Yet Adam, the human, blames her, and relationship is transformed. The shared experience of reproduction will now be accompanied by sorrow, and in addition, a complex dynamic of desire and domination is introduced into their relationship. As the verse tells us, "I will make most severe your pangs of childbearing. In pain shall you bear children. yet your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. As a result of failure to accept responsibility, togetherness is transformed into a challenge, one filled with ever-present potential pitfalls, sorrow, control, imbalance, and a rupture in the mutuality of relationship. Even that which can only take place within a shared life, introduced in the verses by relating to producing children, will now be accompanied by profound sorrow. It seems that in this story, the woman fulfills the human calling, a life of sharing good and the potential of having helpful counterparts, albeit in a misguided way. Adam, by contrast, chooses blame and ingratitude. The verses suggest that God wants us not to be alone, but our choices lead to imbalance and sadness. And so, at the close of this story, two models of human relationship emerge. The first is based on responsibility, sharing the good, acknowledging error, remaining a fitting, helpful counterpart, and living in the joy of partnership. The second is based on blame, standing righteous and alone, at the cost of domination, sorrow, and fracture. From one perspective, Adam appears justified. After all, Eve gave him the fruit. Yet in stating this, he violates something deeper, the mutual respect that makes relationships possible. As long as I define myself as blameless and others as guilty, I destroy the shared space between us. We often imagine ourselves as essentially right, led astray only by others. This is the logic of, it all started when he hit me back. But Genesis teaches otherwise. God creates the other, not as a temptation or threat, but as a blessing, an opportunity for goodness. Accepting responsibility means abandoning the fantasy of standing alone in righteousness. God's purpose in creating a second human was life with a helpful counterpart. To blame another is to warp that purpose. To blame another is to warp that purpose, denying the foundation of companionship. In life, mistakes usually do have multiple contributing factors. Adam is not entirely wrong in saying that Eve gave him the fruit, just as Eve is not entirely wrong to say the serpent deceived her. Yet both fail at the crucial moment by refusing to admit their own role. So it remains in our hands. One may always point to outside pressures, bad influences, parental failings, difficult conditions, the insistence that everyone is doing it or they started. But replacing responsibility with blame has terrible costs. An environment may make wrongdoing more tempting, but it never removes the moral obligation to resist, or if one fails, to take responsibility and repent. The true failure in Eden was not eating fruit, but avoiding and shifting responsibility, which distorts the idea of what life together was meant to be. Good. In Genesis, in Bereshit, we glimpse humanity's dual possibilities. One is the path of responsibility and companionship, where life is shared and it is good. The other is the path of blame, where togetherness is twisted into enmity. The story of Adam and Eve asks us to choose, whenever possible, the first way, to live in responsibility and in partnership. May we strive to see in others not a source of fault, but counterparts, companions, and opportunities for goodness. And may we never forget the lesson that blame isolates, but responsibility allows us to live together. Shabbat Shalom.